Daniel chapter 10. Let's read the first 8 verses. You follow along silently. In the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia, a thing was revealed unto Daniel, whose name was called Belteshazzar, and the thing was true, but the time appointed was long, and he understood the thing, and he had understanding of the vision. In other words, this was a vision that came to Daniel, but it took a long time for it. It wasn't just a quick little passing dream in the night kind of thing. Verse 2, and in those days I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. In the 4th and 20th day of the 1st month, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel. Then I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body was also like beryl, his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to a polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Now, we're going to stop there. Keep your Bibles open. Again, verse number 1 tells us the timing of chapter 10. Notice it says, in the 3rd year of Cyrus, king of Persia. If you remember, you had Nebuchadnezzar, then his son Belshazzar, then you had King Darius of the Media Persian Empire, now you have King Cyrus, who is now the ruler of just the Persian Empire, who overtook the Medes. So now you're in a fourth kingdom, and this happens right after, basically, chapter 6 as well. Now, listen to this very carefully here. It's roughly the year 534. That's about 52 years into the captivity. Daniel's in his 70s. Daniel's not a young man here. This makes Daniel probably in his early to mid 70s. And it's just a few years after chapter 6 and Daniel in the lion's den. Now, Daniel was used by God. By the way, chapter 11, if you're trying to read ahead for next week, you'll notice it goes back to King Darius. So you're going to skip back in time again. All right? That's why I said you can't take the book of Daniel chronologically as the chapters are. Okay? It jumps around a little bit. But Daniel was used by God to be a great light for the Jews during the 70 years of captivity. God used Daniel to be that steady, constant focus of spiritual light from God the Father to the Jews. Now, listen to this statement here. God did not want to destroy the Jews, but he would not let his love for them keep punishment away from them. Too many times we think because we love somebody, we won't punish them. God says, if you love them, you will punish them. Amen. You don't love them by not punishing them, because you then reward bad character and wrongdoing. He would not let them do their own thing forever. God chose Daniel to be the wick, so to speak, to burn brightly for the Jews to see God's light. Now listen to me. You have to understand something. The Jews had been conquered by another country. God has a man, at least one man, for every generation. A man of God to stand and burn brightly that he can point his people to. You have to understand, God kept that light alive, and that light, Daniel was the wick on which that light burnt. He was not the light, but he was the wick that kept that flame going the whole time. Daniel will spend his entire adult life in bondage. Daniel spends his entire adult life in bondage. Daniel will have given his whole career to being this spiritual light for the Jews while they're in bondage. Just as the wick burns to give life, Daniel's life would be spent or burnt to keep the light alive for the Jews for 70 years. That's why a man like Nehemiah, a man like Ezra, who after 70 years in bondage would go back and rebuild the wall and then go back and rebuild the city. Why? Because of a man named Daniel who was willing to spend his whole life and his whole career being burnt for God. Now, the winds of opposition tried to put it out. Remember? The lion's den and other things? But he kept it burning at all cost. Daniel never faltered in his Christianity throughout the entire time. Daniel knows God will deliver the Jews one day. God already kept his promise by them going into the captivity. He already promised that it would only be 70 years, but it was his job to keep the people focused on what happens afterwards. Now, they're on their fourth king with King Cyrus. Daniel spends 3 weeks praying and fasting for this vision that God is trying to show to him. As he's in the third week of this fast, Daniel meets up with another angel. God gives him some truths that I want to give you tonight. By the way, some say that Daniel saw Jesus in verse 5 and 6. I don't personally believe that. I know where they get that, but you'll find out why I don't think that's what it is here in a moment. I wouldn't fight with you over it, but it does not say that it was Jesus, just so you know. Now, I want you to look at, first of all, Daniel sees this angelic being. Look at verse number 5. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold and ephah. His body also was like the beryl, not a beryl, but a jewel. His face as the appearance of lightning, his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like the color of polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. This is the vision that Daniel sees. Only Daniel sees this. You have to realize this takes place over a period towards the end of a 3 week period. But I want you to notice what happened. Look at verse number 7. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision. For the men that were with me saw not the vision, but great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. When they started seeing what was going on, the people closest to Daniel said, "Uh-oh, I don't want to be around for this. I'm getting out." Everybody listen to this very carefully here. The closer you get to God, the scarier it gets. Because the more you see yourself as you are, and the more you see how powerful he is. There are people, if you met someone famous, you would be a little nervous. Well, imagine meeting Jesus, God. Imagine being face to face with those from the other world. That's enough to make you shake in your boots a little bit. You got to realize something. I'll mention this in a little while here. We tend to only see life through our fleshly eyes. There is a whole nother world out there. It's a spiritual world. This person was so powerful that it drained Daniel of all of his strength. Not only did his friends leave, but it drained him of his strength. Now, listen to me for just a moment here. You will pay a price to get close to God. You'll pay a price to live the Christian life. Sometimes it's going to get lonely. Your family isn't going to understand you. I know that's hard to believe. They didn't understand you before you got saved. Now they really don't understand you once you did. But seriously, there are times as a Christian you will have to stand in opposition against people that you love in your own family. I'm just going to tell you the truth. Sometimes you're going to have to stand against your friends. Sometimes you might have to stand against people with whom you had great respect that are changing, that if you're not going to change and you're going to live and do what God says, you're going to live right and don't care who doesn't. Amen. I've had to take those stands. I still have to take those stands. I've had to take one of those recently. Brother Fugit texted me and said, "Hey, heard you didn't participate in thus and so." I said, "No, I didn't." He said, "Neither did I." He said, "How's it feel to be the outcast?" I said, "Pretty good, because I was the incast with God." He said, "I knew I liked you for a reason, Brother Bush." Now, wait a minute. There were people at that meeting that I know, I love, I respect. But I don't need their approval. I need God's. I don't need man's approval. I need God's. Going to a conference somewhere and rubbing elbows with people doesn't mean much to me. I'd rather rub my knees at God's feet. I'd rather wash his feet with my tears. You see, it's more important to stand with God than it is to stand with everybody else.
That's good, preacher.
You don't have to have a bad attitude while you do it. But the closer you get to God, I say this a lot, you don't have to separate from the world, they'll do it from you. You pull your Bible out, you pull your gospel tracts out and watch them go, like turning the lights on and watching the cockroaches go. It doesn't take long. This vision was so powerful. Look at verse number 8. "Therefore I was left alone, and I saw a great vision. There remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet I heard the voice of his words. When I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. Behold, a hand touched me and set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands." Now look at me. Many in this room, you've never been to this point, but when you're in the midst of spiritual battle, it's very draining. I put a lot of hours in. I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not arrogant. I work hard and put a lot of hours in. Can I tell you why? Because I do a lot of spiritual battle. There's days my wife will tell you I'm weary. I didn't have an attack necessarily, but spiritual battle just wears you down. Whether it's good spirit or you're fighting evil spirits, you can get wore out with good spiritual warfare as well as difficult spiritual warfare. We're not made for spiritual warfare because of our sin. It exhausts us. It's kind of like using muscles you haven't used in a long time. All of a sudden you use them and you feel them for a few days. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. This vision was so powerful that it drained Daniel of all of his strength. For instance, if I preach often, or when I preach, a lot of times it drains me. Counseling drains me. Say why? Because it's a spiritual battle. And I'm pouring everything I've got into it. And it just takes you just a little while to recover because it just empties you. The angel sits Daniel upon his hands and his knees. Daniel falls prostrate on his face. And the Bible says that a hand touched him and lifted him to where he was on his hands and his knees. Verse number 10 there. Now, who was this angel? Look at verse number 11. "And this angel said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Now look at me. This angel was sent to give Daniel understanding of what he just saw. And he said, Daniel, don't you worry. You're beloved. God sent me to give you understanding. Now stand up and let me talk to you. I remember the first time I had to meet Dr. Jack Hiles one-on-one. Man, I was scared to death. I was a scrawny little college boy. I had to fight every fear, thought I was going to throw up. And I hate throwing up. I was just hoping I didn't throw up on him. I remember it. I remember the first time I got to pick him up at an airport and take him to his hotel. One-on-one in the car, Brother Mike. Man, I brushed my teeth 6 times. I combed what hair I had. I made sure the car was spotless. I met him, and I was scared. I honestly didn't know what to say. Thank God he knew how to talk, because I wasn't going to say nothing. I was just going to drive. I mean, I was scared to death. I remember the day when he called me and asked me to come work for him. How humbled I was. You can say what you want. I loved the man. I respected him. He was a man. But Brother Mike, it's the only time in my life my knees ever literally shook. I said, that's not funny. Don't tease like that. He said, Craig, I'm not teasing. Yes, sir. My knees literally, I began to tremble. I went home and my wife said, what's the matter? She said, you're shaking. I said, you better sit down. I'm going to sit down. You better sit down because you ain't going to believe what I'm about to tell you. We both began to tremble. Say, why? Respect. I was afraid. I realized that if I took that position, I had to sit on a platform in an auditorium that sat 7,000 people and filled it up every week. Now, you don't call that fear. I call that fear. Good night. I hadn't been there 6 months and he asked me to preach for him. He's going to be on vacation. Oh, wonderful. You all know the dream I had. It was a nightmare. My wife spoke for a lady's mother-daughter banquet just last week. And before she left, I said, do you have your sermon? She said, oh, I got it right here. She said, you know, I said, yes, I do. Trust me. I know how you feel. Oh, I know how you feel. At first, I had nightmares for weeks that I stood to speak and I opened my Bible and there was no sermon in it. And 7,000 people in my face. And I said, hold on, I got to go back to my office. And I remember running to my office, going up 4 floors, going to my office, getting it and running back and coming through the door out on the platform. And Brother Hiles was standing there and said, son, if it wasn't that important, don't worry about it. Just sit down. We don't need to hear you. Oh, I remember those nightmares. I made sure I had a copy of my Bible. I put one under the chair that I would be sitting on in the platform. I taped one to the inside of the pulpit. My secretary sang in the choir and she had a copy, and my wife was on the third row on this side at that time, and I made sure she had a copy. I had 6 copies of that within 20 feet of where I was at. That nightmare was not going to come true. Say why? I was panic stricken. I was. God didn't call me to do that, I didn't think. Well, too late. You enlisted. You volunteered. You stepped forward. Time to step up. I understand how Daniel felt a little bit here. I remember getting ready to go out and preach that night. And honestly, I didn't think I could get up from my chair and leave my office. You all don't understand. Get up in front of 5,000 or 6,000 people and preach for a while. I can sit up there all day long and not have to say nothing. I'm okay. If I got to lead them in prayer, they got their eyes closed. No problem. I'm talking to God, not them. But one of the assistant pastors said, Craig, what you worried about? He said, don't you worry about anything. He said, this is coupon picking day for most of us. We've invested in you. Whew. I don't know if he meant it or not, but it got me through. Got down the steps and got out there and whew, got through it. Now, wait a minute. I kind of know how Daniel felt when the angel looked at him and said, stand up. His knees are trembling. He said, now let me help you understand. That's what Daniel was feeling. Next. Why did it take 3 weeks? Look at verse number 11. I'm sorry, verse number 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Now look at me. This angel looks at Daniel and says, don't worry, Daniel. From the very first day you started praying and fasting, God sent me with your answer. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd be, well, then what took you so long? Wouldn't you? Well, look at verse number 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days. Oh, now let me try to explain this to you. God sent this angel on the first day Daniel began to pray. But while he was bringing the answer to him, the Bible says that the king of Persia met him and delayed him. I'm going to explain it, and then we're going to look at some things in the Bible, and then we're going to keep going here. You have to understand something. There are evil forces over every nation. This king of Persia was one of the devil's evil forces that was withstanding the angel bringing the message from God to Daniel. And it took Michael, the archangel, after 3 weeks to come and help this angel whip the king of Persia, this evil force, so that the angel could get loose and bring the answer to Daniel. Now let's go back and read these verses again. Look at verse number 12. Then said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. Those two angels fought for 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, an archangel, came to help me, and I remained there with the king of Persia. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, for yet the vision is the many days. Now, the angel did battle for 21 days with this evil angel or evil force of the king of Persia. Michael the archangel steps in to help. The spiritual battles fought in our world today are real. There are good forces as well as bad forces spiritually. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Look at verse number 10. Finally, my brethren, Be strong in the Lord and in the what? Power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the whom? Devil. Now look at me. God says you need to be strong, and I want you to put on the whole armor so that you can stand against the attacks, the wiles of the devil himself, correct? Now watch this. This is where we get things messed up a little bit. Look at verse number 12. For we wrestle not against, what are the next three words? Flesh and blood. Now look at me. Our enemy is not human. Our enemy is not Chucky Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Not yet. The beast and the false prophet. But against principalities, against the powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. This is that battle that this angel was delayed by for 21 days in the book of Daniel, chapter 10. He wasn't wrestling flesh and blood. Principalities. Those are governments. Against powers. Against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Folks, you don't understand something. We are the stroke of a pen away from Antichrist taking over the world. The financial markets are within grasp of one human being. $20 trillion are controlled by one person. Trillion. You think many of these companies are owned by themselves, but this one group has become, by themselves, the top shareholder in most of the individual corporations of the world. Exxon, Chevron, Shell, McDonald's, Disney, all of them. They own the controlling interest of all those corporations. And they're all conglomerated into one. Why did Disney make statements that they did? Because the person who holds the purse string said, either you go this direction or we're pulling your money. You'll have nothing. You have to understand something. The battles that are being fought are far higher than you understand. I said this about a year or two ago. I personally think President Trump probably has shaken hands with and looked eyeball to eyeball with potentially the Antichrist. He doesn't know who it is, nor do you. But I believe it's a world power. Someone who has real power. Just as God sets an angel over every church as a messenger and a wherewithal to deliver blessings to a church, according to Revelation chapter 1, 2, and 3, I believe God does the same for every nation, that there are angels who preside over a nation. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. But what happens when that nation turns their back on God? That angel cannot defeat the evil powers that Satan sends. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. Now watch this. Just as Satan has high-powered angels over nations, God does too. We are starting to see these world powers more and more reveal the evil and the evil forces controlling them. Now here's the statement I want you to get about this part of Daniel chapter 10. If you missed the whole sermon, listen to this statement. We must realize that God does answer prayer. But sometimes our prayers are delayed by evil forces. Don't stop praying. By the way, don't get mad at God when you don't get it when you think you should get it. It could be God sent it in time, but because whatever forces are around, the evil forces, it may delay an answer. Jennifer, go like this for a second. When we had to build this building and I had to fight tooth and nail with Jefferson County, God gave the answer, build the church. It was delayed by evil forces. I won't give you their names, but she knows who they are. Wait a minute. Sometimes the answer is out of God's control. He's given it. He's allowing it to be delivered, but sometimes it's held up. Now, let me say this very carefully here. I don't believe in Casper the Friendly Ghost, eerie, spooky, ookie, wookie Christianity. Amen. I'm not in this, oh, we got to have a seance and, oh, God, remove the evil forces. God didn't remove the evil forces. He just sent reinforcements to whoop the fire out of them. Amen. Proof, David had a heart like God. David had a warrior's heart. So does God, because he sent extra forces. He didn't knock them out himself. He said, go down there and fight with him. God didn't run from the fight. But sometimes you don't get an answer to prayer because you only pray once and didn't get it. And as I've said often, God's not the genie in the bottle. You rub it, ask him what you want for, and he gives you whatever you want. That's not prayer. And when you're dealing with national or big league stuff, the bigger things that you ask for and the more important they are, the more battle there will be for it. By the way, sometimes what you're praying for is impossible to be answered. I'm for praying that someone gets well. I'm for praying for someone not to pass away. But don't get mad at God if they do. Did you know everything that is living will die? A dog, a cat, a fish, a groundhog, a deer, a turkey, hopefully. if it's alive, it's going to die. So at what point is it okay for something to die and you not be angry with God? Who made you the judge of God? And by the way, God didn't sin, we did. It's not God's fault. You say, well, you're not God and everybody's glad. Quit pretending that you're God. You're guilty of the same thing Satan is. Genesis chapter 3. You could be like gods, knowing good and evil for yourself. Well, I want my kids to do this, so wouldn't God... Wait a minute, why are you bringing God down to man? How about you go up to where God is? Quit bringing God down to the human level. Let's go up to his level. Sometimes God sends the answer, but you got to wait on it because there's battle for it. You don't know how many times I wore my knees out begging God for money for us for these projects around this church. I remember the day I threw my hands up and said, that's it, I'm done. It's your house. You want it built, you provide it. I'm done. I did. I was done. Brother Mike, 16 and a half hours later, somebody walked in and handed me a $25,000 check. He walked out of my office and said, now we're talking. Wait a minute. By the way, the very moment I did that, the man told me they were writing the check. I just didn't see him till the next day. Whew. That's enough to make the hair on your neck raise up. Brother Meyer, that's if you had any, all right? now, wait a minute. Sometimes God's prayers are delayed, not by him, but by evil forces. Keep on praying. Number three, I'll quickly get through here. Daniel finally gets to the meaning of this vision. Look at verse 15. And when he had spoken such words unto me, I set my face toward the ground and I became dumb. not like some of you. Behold, one like the similitude of the sons of men touched my lips. Then I opened my mouth and spake and said unto him that stood before me, O my Lord, by what vision my sorrows are turned upon me, and I have retained no strength. For how can the servant of this my Lord talk with this my Lord? For as for me, straightway there remained no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. Then there came again, and touched me one like an appearance of a man, and he strengthened me, and said, O man, greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee, be strong, yea, be strong. When he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened, and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Then said he, Knowest thou whereof I come unto thee, and thou wilt return to fight with the prince of Persia? Oh, notice they're going back to do more battle. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia, that's Greece, shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. Now look at me. There are still many days, the Bible said in verse number 14, till this came about. Remember, they're about 52 or so years into this. This about 18 more years have to take place. He said, there are many days yet. And he said, I'll be doing battle with the king of Persia this whole time so that he doesn't conquer all of the Jews. But just know, as I promised before in one of the other visions, the king of Grecia will come. That's Alexander the Great. Now, Daniel was so overwhelmed that he could not speak or move. He was not in some weirdo trance with his eyes rolled back in his head. Our flesh is so sinful that we can hardly stand before the righteousness of heaven. You have to understand something. There are times where when you get into a holy moment with you and God, you're wondering if you can live or die. It's not something weird, but then the Holy Spirit speaks and gives power. That's what this is in reference to. Remember Ephesians 6? Stand strong and in the power of his might. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Now watch this. This angel helps Daniel get the strength to speak. Sometimes things can be so overwhelming that there's nothing left in us. I can't tell you how many times I've been physically to the point I didn't know if I could preach. But said, God, if you can get me there, I'll stand up. I'll open my mouth, and you got to fill it. Good night. For about 3 years, every December I had walking pneumonia. Remember? And I couldn't talk. I'd be like this through the announcements, and I sometimes had somebody else make the announcements, get up to preach, and my voice is just like it is right now. Get done, and I was talking like this again. Say, what was that, God? And I didn't feel any better. I preached a whole month of December one time with walking pneumonia. I didn't feel like it, but the Holy Spirit said, I'll empower you. You get yourself in there and do what you're supposed to do. Now I'd probably get thrown in jail because everybody thought I had COVID or something. Sometimes things can be so overwhelming that you feel like you have no more power. It's not time to give up. It's time to keep going in his strength. Daniel had over 50 years in captivity. He's got almost 20 more years to go. Can you imagine being 50 years into something and realize you got 20 years left before you get out of it? That could get a little overwhelming. We need to encourage those who have been in the battle for a long time and help give them strength. You don't know this. It doesn't matter. I don't do it for anybody else to know, but I love helping preachers. One of the things that I do is try to encourage preachers. Every Sunday morning, I have about almost 50 preachers around the country that before 5 o'clock in the morning have gotten a text from me so that when they finally roll out of bed, they can look at their phone and say, somebody's trying to encourage me today. Because Sundays are hard on preachers. Is anybody going to show up? Is the offering going to come in? Am I going to have somebody leave the church? Who's going to be mad at me today? All those things that a preacher goes through. I wanted them to have something positive to start their day. And I'm not talking power positive thinking. But, hey, brother, I'm praying for you. I've spent time with God for you. This is what I've prayed for you today. And I've called your name out before God. I've got a couple friends that get up early, about the same time I'm up. One of my friends, one morning, I texted him about 4:30. And he texted me right back and he said, Brother Bush, he said, I thought I heard you in the throne room. I was there with you. Hold my mule while I shout. I love that. I love encouraging preachers. I have some preachers I pray for every day. Some I pray for every Sunday morning. And a man that I prayed for just this week, he said, Brother Bush, I've just gone through a huge battle. I didn't tell you about it because I knew you'd probably get on an airplane and fly here and try to help me. And I didn't want to bother you. He said, but if it wasn't for your texts every day, I don't think I'd have made it. He said, we got the victory. I said, good for you. We need to encourage, not criticize. Don't judge somebody because their answer didn't come when you thought it should come. Maybe their answer got delayed. Before you start proclaiming the judgment of God, how about the delay of the devil? My Bible doesn't say add to their load. He says in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Don't run your fat mouth and tell everybody how bad they are. Don't tell everybody why you disagree with something. You say, how do we do it? Real easy. You speak the word of the Lord. That's what verse 19 says. Middle of the verse, and when he had spoken unto me, I was strengthened and said, let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Wow. You speak the word of the Lord unto somebody, you can encourage them. Sometimes people need a human touch. Now, listen to me very carefully here. I'm talking about an appropriate human touch. I believe in handshaking. Ladies, if you want to run up and hug each other, go for it. But Brother Scott, I ain't running up saying, Brother Scott, I need to hug you. Okay, it ain't happening. I ain't asking Brother Harry to go to the bathroom with me either. Been doing it for 55 years by myself. I don't need any help. Don't need nobody there. Amen, Brother Mike? Whew. Now, wait a minute. You have to understand something, though. I'm not talking about all the huggy, touchy, feely, feel-good garbage of today's world. I'm not talking about this new age, ooky, spooky stuff either. Oh, come here, we have touch therapy. I'm going to put my hands over you and you're going to feel the power. That's charismatic garbage from the devil. Yeah, I'm going to level you out, man. Oh, I know people who honestly believe that they can put their hands over top of you and you can feel the power and you'll feel better. Okay, I don't know what they've been smoking or drinking, but it didn't come in out of my house. Trust me. But a good old-fashioned handshake or a hug between the same gender appropriately can help people along the way. I'm just going to go ahead and say, this is why the quarantine and virtual churches are killing churches in America today. churches are losing that human contact. Now people aren't going back to church. Part of Satan's plan of masks and 6 feet apart was to destroy man's stability in the touch of a fellow human being. Talk to the people that had to go to the hospital during COVID. People woke up from being on a machine and it looked like aliens over top of them because of all the stupid garbage people had to wear. And may I just insert this and I'll finish. Protesters for abortion say it's my body and my choice. But when it comes to a vaccination, the same people want to take your choice away for what you put in your body. The angel's departing words. The angel was going to do battle with the angel of Persia again, and he tells Daniel, once he defeats Persia, the Greek ruler will come. Verse 20. The angel reminds Daniel of what the word of God says in verse 14, and that only Michael, the archangel, was powerful enough to release the Jews from their captivity, and when the time came, Michael would be there to release them. That was the promise. Now, I've got to finish. Let me crash land the plane here. God always keeps his words. His answers to prayers are sometimes delayed by angels at war. There is real spiritual war that we cannot see and that we have no control over. Don't blame God. We just need to stay as spiritual and as biblical as we can. I believe in that. I really do. I believe there are things we can do here, yes. But if you don't get your answer, keep praying. I wonder how many times we gave up when it was on the way. It was just delayed. I didn't get it when I wanted, preacher. But if you kept praying, you still might get it when he wanted you to get it. Sometimes there's a battle going on that you can't see. Just hang in there. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. I wonder, there's several points in here, but I wonder which one touched you. I wonder how many times we've given up. We've criticized instead of lifted up. We've judged a judgment of God when the answer was already given. There was just spiritual war going on we couldn't see. We've been unjust.